Indeed, it's a joy to be here with you at Westmoreland, and we so much look forward to being here with you each year. I've got a word that God has laid on my heart. In fact, I just finished it this morning. It's not because I waited till the last moment, but it's because God just keeps turning and giving me a fresh revelation of this. And I thank God. He says, my sheep know my voice. And I'm glad that I want to be tuned in. If you have your Bibles and would like to read along with us, in just a moment we'll stand. But would you be turning over to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And we'll begin reading at verse 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 10 through 12. And I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles nearby, because we're going to visit other scriptures throughout. But while some are still turning to Luke chapter 2, let me briefly mention, I know many of you may already have our CDs. We visited here at Westmoreland. But I've got something very special that the Lord has laid on my heart to do this year. You know, I look at our children. I look at other people's children and their grandchildren and how they're so blessed and perhaps, if we use the word loosely, maybe even a little bit spoiled at Christmas, because, you know, and we want to give to our children, but my heart goes out to less fortunate children. And for the last couple of years, Jamil and I have been a supporter of the Carolina Children's Home. It's an orphanage in Concord, North Carolina. And what I want to do to help support them, some of you may have it, we have that Deacon Cornbread Christian comedy. There's a lot of Southern comedy. Somebody's up there with Billy Bob Teeth. Jamil says it favors me a whole lot. And it's a video. And then we've got Brooke's new Christmas CD. It has her radio release of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas and the song you just heard, Oh Holy Night. And we put on there as a bonus. Well, if you get both of these for $20, we'll donate all of the proceeds to the Carolina Children's Home. And I want to be able to be a blessing to those children. Many of them come from broken homes. And this is a church-supported orphanage. They won't allow the state to give them the majority of their funds because they still want to be able to teach them about Jesus Christ. Is that all right, church? Amen. If you're physically able, may we all stand for the reading of the Word of God. If you found Luke chapter 2, verse 10, say, I've got it. Verse 10, it reads, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. Somebody said, that includes me. Joy unto all people. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And we're going to pause right there. As we bow our heads and go to our Lord in a word of prayer. You know, from a child up, I remember hearing that verse of scripture read, especially during this time of year. And I often wondered, what in the world is swaddling clothes? I thought maybe they were oversized and they meant swallowing clothes. And you know, we all like to wear our clothes a little bit loosely. Well, we're gonna find out these swaddling clothes mean tightly wrapped, secured. And many pediatricians, they'll tell you that they like to wrap a newborn in a tight blanket. It gives them the sense of security because they've been wrapped very tightly in the mother's stomach for the last 9 months. How much more do we get the feeling of safety and security when we're wrapped in the loving arms of Jesus? Can someone say amen? Amen. May we now bow our heads and go to our Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask my lovely wife, my partner in ministry, lead us in this prayer.
Dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful, God.
Thank you, Lord.
see souls saved, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As you're being seated, turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them, you sure look good in God's house today. Would you do that for me? You look good in God's house today. I love coming to Westmoreland because I feel the liberty. I feel the freedom. When I see Dr. Jerry as he's worshiping, that tells me that we have liberty in the house of God. Amen. Christmas is my favorite time of the year. Sister Teresa, I'm the baby out of six children. They finally got it right. But being the baby, Mama always had something special for the last Mohican. Maybe I should say the last Saponi, but all kidding aside, Christmas is my favorite time of the year. It holds a wonder. According to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, honey, would you turn there for me? Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it holds the wonder of a virgin birth. There's many other proclamations of people proclaiming to be a savior of the world, but there's none that can stand up and say, born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit. Come on, help me, somebody. That's when the God of heaven decided to come in flesh form and reunite himself with a fallen man. Would you read that verse 14 for me?
Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Amen. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. It holds the wonder. Christmas holds the wonder of the angels. We read many accounts throughout the scripture of the angels appearing to Mary, the angels appearing to Joseph, and even to the shepherds. It holds the wonder of the incarnation, meaning that God of heaven chose to visit a lowly man in the form of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. But Christmas was often observed even in times of persecution. During the 1500, the 16th century, they were persecuted. They couldn't openly talk about Jesus Christ. But here today, you and I, we can freely talk about the wonders, and we should talk about the wonders of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the persecution of Christians, hear me, is increasing around the world today. Pastor Jerry had mentioned a moment ago about my mission trip. I was in the third world country of Ecuador. It's in South America, and it's right there at the equator line. And it's even in their winter. We went there in July. That's their winter, and it was still 100 plus degrees. But they can't often talk about Jesus Christ. There's persecution. There's factions trying to even bring communism there. But you and I have the ability to talk about Jesus Christ. But through the years, persecuted believers, they sometimes had to code, if I can use that word loosely, code their beliefs. Talk about it in an example way. Many will remember back in World War II when the United States would talk to their allies and send messages through radio, they had to talk through code. And many times the enemy could decipher the code until finally they got the Cherokee Indians and they were unable to break that code. Well, I'm not going to speak to you this morning in Cherokee, but I do want to talk to you briefly about what the persecuted church, how what you and I thought may have been a harmless song, you and I thought may have been a little child's nursery rhyme, was actually the message of the church. The message, hear me, of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for the next few moments, I'd like to speak to you on the topic, Mary had a little lamb. or you didn't hear me. Maybe some of you didn't go to nursery school. After my third time in the fourth grade, I finally got it. Mary had a little lamb. Well, Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. We're going to examine for the next few moments exactly how this is a coded message from a persecuted church to a dying world. First of all, Mary had a little lamb. We'll read here in the same chapter of Luke, chapter 2. We'll read in verse 7. Jamil, would you scroll up just a little bit to verse 7 of chapter 2 of Luke and read that for me.
And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Mary had a little lamb. There was no room for him. When my son Mikey was little and he would read this Bible verse, he would say, because there was no room for him at the Holiday Inn. Mary had a little lamb and she brought forth her firstborn son. But I want to tell you, church, that Christmas didn't begin in Bethlehem. God's promise to send his son goes back even into the Garden of Eden, according to Genesis chapter 3. Let me read that to you. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. God's promise to send his son, he said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God gave us a promise. It didn't just show up in the Gospel of Luke, but God throughout the eons of time had a plan to reunite a fallen, sinful mankind with a holy God. Can you say amen? Christmas was even symbolic or foreshadowed we read about the sons of Abel and Cain, the sons of Adam and Eve. We read this foreshadowed in Abel's first offerings of a lamb. He offered a sacrificial lamb. Even John the Baptist would say, according to John chapter 1 verse 29, he says, behold the Lamb of God. Now, I said this to some of you last year, this word behold, it was in the scripture I read last year. That's in the King James, but you and I, here in North Carolina, we don't usually go to one another and we say, behold. Brother, if I walked up to you after service and said, behold, you would think I'd lost my mind. But here in Carolina, here in the South, we don't say behold. We usually say, look at here. And that's what he's doing, is to get our attention. And he says, behold. In other words, I'm getting ready to tell you something that will forever change the history of mankind. Look at here. John says, behold the Lamb of God. Mary had a little lamb, and John said, behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb, according to Revelation. Honey, would you read Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23? According to this verse of scripture, the Lamb is the light in the holy city. Would you read that for me?
The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did listen it, and the Lamb was the light thereof.
Yes. Praise God. That's enough to make a deacon shout right there. That they don't have a Duke Energy up there powering the lights of the city. They don't have those neon lights, but they have the Lamb, Mary's little lamb, to light the holy city. Can somebody say amen? Well, according to Revelation, that same chapter 21, move down to verse 27, honey, and read that for us.
And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they
in the what? in the Lamb's book of life. In other words, those in heaven have their names written in the what? Mary's little lamb. In the Lamb's book of life. So help me with it. Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. As I read earlier, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She wrapped him tightly. She embraced her son. And now he's embracing you and I. And all of our sins are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Forgiven, forgotten, forever. Well, in the Bible, the color white is often the color that's symbolic of purity. Symbolic of holiness. And when I say holiness, I don't mean specifically or only a church denomination, but I'm talking about a God-prescribed, God-ordained way of living. The Bible that you hold in your hands, if you read the front cover, it should say Holy Bible. Well, this color white, his fleece is white as snow. White is often the color of holiness and purity. Sinners come to Christ to have their sins washed as what? White as snow. Lost souls are to be judged at the great what? The great white throne of judgment. The sinless one, the spotless one, Jesus Christ, after his death at the cross of the crucifixion at the cross, they wrapped him in a pure white garment. And because of his purity, he takes away the sins of the world. So help me out. Mary had a little lamb. His fleece. You better help me say it. I'm going to come out there with a mic. Let's say it again. Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. Now the other part. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Well, we read here in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, they laid him in a manger. A manger. As a child, I wondered, I'm only a generation away from growing up on the farm, but I didn't know what a manger was. Jamil's dad, before he retired, he was at one time one of the largest pig farmers in eastern North Carolina, but they didn't put the pigs in a manger. When I was a child, I understood as a child, I spake as a child, but they laid Jesus in a manger. In other words, it was a, for lack of a better word, it was a trough to feed the flock. How symbolic is that to us? I want to shout on that alone, Pastor Jerry, because they laid him. He feeds us. He is the good shepherd. He loves his flock, Brother Blue. He loves us and he feeds us. He is the Word of God. Hallelujah. The manger symbolizes, hear this, the availability of Christ. As I was studying and I was preparing, I wanted to contrast a lowly manger with some of the upline baby cribs. And those of you that have small infants or small grandchildren, you want to get them something really nice. And baby cribs, they're priced. The really nice ones are priced from $400, $500. I saw some online, Sister Teresa, for $895. Wow, that little guy said, wow. But the Savior of the world was laid in a lowly manger. That's symbolic that his gospel, his salvation, is not only for those that can afford the nicer things, but for the common man, for whosoever will. Somebody say, that's me. I'm that whosoever. And his salvation, his blood was shed for me. Jamil, would you turn over to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke 19 and verse 10. Over in this verse of scripture, would you read that for me?
For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost.
He's seeking for you. He's looking. If you're lost, you're on his GPS. If you're lost, his salvation is like a heat-seeking missile. You know, our military has the technology today that any device that sends off a heat radiation, once they lock on the target, it'll follow it. That's how the love of God targets us when we're lost. He came to seek and save the lost. And he is able to save all who come to him, according to Hebrews chapter 7. I want to read that for you. Hebrews chapter 7. I know I've got a lot of verses of scripture, but I want you to know that everything I'm sharing with you is based on the word of God. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to what? Save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. Aren't you glad he's making intercessions for you? Aren't you glad that he comes before God the Father? I know the Bible declares that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, but I'm so glad that I have an advocate that comes before God and said, but wait a minute, I know he was guilty, but those sins have been covered by the spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Would you give him a hand of praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That takes away the sins of the world. According to Matthew chapter 28. And verse 20. Honey, would you read that for me? Read that.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
That word, lo. Insert your name there. Amen. Now, I know in this text it's used as a conjunction to tie the two sentences together. But would imagine if it would say, and Mike, I'm with you, even unto the end of the world. And Dr. Jerry, I'm with you, even until the end of the world. In other words, Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, he says, and lo, I'm with you. Lo, I'm with you. Ricky, I'm with you. Even until the end of the world. The lamb was sure to go. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. According to Hebrews, honey, turn to Hebrews 13 and 5. Would you read that for me?
Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Glory to God. Some of you may have gone through some difficult times this week, but I'm here to tell you he was still right there with you. You might have something that you're facing this coming week and you're thinking, I don't know how in the world I'm going to face this situation. But he says right here, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, if Mary had that promise that everywhere that Mary went, the Lamb was sure to go. Brother, you and I have that promise. The spotless Lamb of God will go with us too. Touch your neighbor and say, he'll go with you. Not only here in church, he'll go with you. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now, honey, turn to the book of Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. I know you can quote that, but I want you to read that because we have to study to show ourselves approved. And I want you to know this verse of scripture, Psalm 23 and verse 4. Read that.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's with us always. Not only when we're here at Westmoreland shouting the victory, but even on those days we feel like we're going through the valley of the shadow of death. He says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Lamb is with me. That promise wasn't only for Mary in this little nursery rhyme, but that promise is for you and I as born again believers. Can somebody say amen? So as I come to a close, and I want to ask Jamil to make her way up to the piano. The gospel is so simple that it can be coded, if I can use that word, in a child's nursery rhyme. Childlike faith in Christ assures us of heaven. Receive the Lamb. Receive the Lamb. I want to read one last verse to you out of the Gospel of John. As I turn to John chapter 14 and verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Folks, that's our hope. If you notice, this is red letter edition. Let me read it. And if I go and prepare a place for you, the Lamb says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Here's the good part. That where I am, there you may be also. I realize many times that we read this verse of scripture, we hear this verse of scripture in a funeral setting. And certainly it's comforting that there will be a reunion of our loved ones that's gone on to be with the Lord. But it gives me a promise today that he's gone on ahead, Brother Ricky. He's gone on ahead and he's preparing a place. And he said, where I am, there ye may be also. Mary had a little lamb. John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. His fleece was white as snow. Well, we read all throughout scripture, it's speckled and sprinkled all throughout scripture, that the blood of Jesus makes us white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the Lamb was sure to go. He says, where I am, there ye may be also. He's not only Mary's lamb in this nursery rhyme, but he's my Savior. And he's not coming back as a meek and lowly lamb, but he's going to be
Thank you, righteous Jesus. King.
Yeah. He's going to be a roaring lion when we come back. If we're going to use an analogy, he won't be a meek and lowly lamb, but he will be a roaring lion of Judah. Honey, I want you to come around and sing that, because no matter who you are, where you've been, how high a status you may have, or how low you may feel, he knows you. He knows your name. Listen as she sings.
He knows my name.
Personal, say, you know my name, Lord.
You know my name. He knows right where you are right now. You know my name. Tell him one more time, Jesus. You know my name. Yes, you do. Yes, you know. and oh, how you counsel me. Oh, how you comfort me, and oh, how you comfort me. Oh, how you tell me, Jesus, and oh, how you tell me that I am your friend, that I am your friend.
Congregation, would you stand with us, please? Sing that again.
You know my name. You know my name.
You know my name.
Yes, you.
Somebody lift your hands to heaven and praise him.
Yes, you know my name.
Because he's God of heaven and the universe, he still knows my name.
You know my name.
It may not be important to you, but the God of heaven still knows me by name.
And oh, how you walk with me. Oh, how you talk with me. And oh, tell me that I am your own. Oh, how you tell me.
Say that with her. I am his own.
That I am your own.
With every head bowed, every eye closed. Folks, I realize it's a busy time of the year. I realize many of you may have made plans for the evening. I realize it's about 2 minutes to the hour of 12 o'clock. I want to assure you that I will be mindful of the time if you'll be mindful of the Spirit in these last few moments. These altars are open. Maybe you're here today. You already know Jesus as your Savior. You've already accepted the spotless Lamb of God, but you're discouraged. You're downhearted. Friend, he's a head lifter. He's a way maker. He's an encourager. If that describes you, I ask that you'd step out and join our brother here in this altar. If you don't know him in the pardon of your sins, that's your Christmas gift. Because the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Just as the fleece was white as snow in that little nursery rhyme, that's what he wants to do with all of your mess ups, all of your mistakes. Maybe you want to come and pray and intercede for someone that you love. Maybe you've got a son or a daughter or a grandchild that's heavy on your heart. Would you come? Oh, I know it's easy to go to Pastor Jerry with your prayer list and say, Pastor, pray over this. But you need to get involved in that equation and lift them up before the Lord. Would you come? Would you come? While these are praying, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Mary's lamb that we talked about, while we're praying, would you come to me? Would you come to Pastor Jerry? He can forever change your life. God can forever change your life. Brother Mills, you don't know what I've done, but evidently you don't realize the mercy of God that endures forever.
No battle.
Would you come?
Can turn.
Would you come?
No mountain.
Even if you're visiting, please feel welcome to join us in this altar. We're only going to be in just a few moments. I'm going to ask Dr. Jerry to lead us in this prayer in just a moment. Would you come?
Is within me.
Would you come?
No giant can defeat me.
He knows your name. He knows your name. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's his promise. Pastor, would you lead us in this prayer?
Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you. Thank you, Lord, that you know our lying down and our rising up, that the Lamb is with us. We praise you, Lord, for touching us as only you can do. And Lord, there are so many needs represented here. And I pray, Lord, that every need, you said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, there are some people, they do have financial need, but Lord, there are some people, they have spiritual needs. They have physical needs. And Lord, you came to redeem us, spirit, soul, and body. And Lord, we present bodies to you today. We place them on your altar, Lord. You hung on a cross, Lord, to remove all of our sin, to wash us in the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, you took stripes upon your back. And today, I decree healing, that by your stripes, we were healed. It's your word, and you watch over that word to perform it. And I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You heal the brokenhearted. Lord, that's my testimony. I know you do that, Lord, because, Lord, you did it for me. I release your healing anointing. Glory. Ramoko Shatai. Lord, and the devil would try to put that depressive spirit back on my sister, but I command it. Go! Woo! That is taken. Glory. Let the Holy Ghost manifest itself. That's it. Ramoko Shataya. Ramoko Shatalamaya. Lord, you said, Lord,